Friday the 13th of January, Hay Shabbat, Rabbi Shimon Green, The Human Advantage.
Mr. Bokertov, I'm very happy to see you, and I express my admiration for what you do. You know, the Gemara that we speak about people, sometimes a person would be a Talmud even for one day, and the yeshivas in Europe where they might have a special Seder in the middle of the night, even in the winter, where the guys would get up at night and, you know, wash and get dressed, and they would go all the way to the base medrash, and they would learn for 5 minutes, and then they would go back to sleep in order to understand. And the truth is, I was zocher to learn in a place like that, and we did that. We did. I was trained that way, you know, periodically to get up and to get completely dressed, to go to the base medrash, to learn for the 5 minutes, and then to go back to sleep and start the day afterwards, to understand the chashivas. So the fact that the people make it their business, even on the way to work, etc., to make a time, etc., is something that I hold very, obviously very precious, and that is very precious. I want to speak, despite the titles, actually I want to speak about particular thing Chazal tell us that's confusing. I'm always interested in the stories or the Midrashim or the Mishnayot that people know best, because it almost seems to be a rule that the better a thing is known, the less it's been understood. I don't know why it is. It's a strange thing. You'll see, like, Mishnayot and Avos, for example. So it's the best known, probably, but least well analyzed. Not, I don't mean by everybody, but that seems the way it is. The Gemara tells us in the Gemara Shabbos that at the time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided, when Kadosh Baruch Hu was about to give the Torah to the Jewish people, that the Malachim were unhappy about it. They didn't like the idea. And the simple reason, the Pashas, they didn't like it because they felt that it wasn't correct, that the Malachim were pure intellect, they had the ability to understand in ways that human beings couldn't possibly understand the Torah. And the truth is, people who learn and people who think understand that it's a very powerful Taina. As much as we understand, I'm a student, I think every person who learns is a student of the human mind, and we find that we reach the limits of the human mind very, very quickly. Very quickly. As wonderful as the mind is, we have, we're tiny, we're puny, there's Pashat. And the Malachim understood that. And they claimed that Hashem should not give the Torah to us to such a degree. As you know, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to the Shemayim to receive the Torah, there was a tremendous debate. He was afraid of being killed. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to hold on to the Kisei Kavod to answer them. It's almost comical because Moshe has to first ask Hashem what's in the Torah to be able to answer them. But the story that every child knows really seems almost childish. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, speaks to them, you know, your fathers, your mothers, you have competition, do you have a Yetzer Hara, he says to them. And see, what exactly happened? Do you think that the Malachim didn't understand? They didn't understand that the content of the Torah relates to human beings, relates to human life, etc., and there was still time they should have it? Obviously, so what was this incredible argument? What was this convincing claim that Moshe Rabbeinu made? I want to discuss today actually three different approaches to this, and one of them, which I really only understood very recently, and it took me many years actually. For some reason I missed the point, and the Baruch Hashem I had the chus to understand it better. And I want to share those today. The first one I want to explain really comes from there's a book on Gittin, really. It was the Kilos Yaakov, not the one who everybody knows as Pfeiffer, but was about Gesundheit, if you know that. I think it was with Yaakov Gesundheit, if I'm not mistaken. But it takes an interesting position. You know, first of all, in general, that we have a principle. I want to deal with another book in a second, but we have a principle, the Godol Mitzvah, Me'ein Mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that a person who is commanded does a greater mitzvah than the person who is not commanded. Against the intuition of the world around us, where everybody feels that everything is done voluntarily is greater, the Torah teaches us not so. The things that are done by obligation are greater than things that are done voluntarily. The simple reason, the Gemara Tosis explains, what we have a Yetzer Hara. It's clear when we have a negative force working against us. So being commanded is harder. It's hard to fulfill the mitzvah. You see, also in mundane things like that, it's much easier to get up early during vacation. when you have no schedule, it's very easy to get up early. You'll see the same thing happens also when you don't want to be in an obligation. If a poor person comes by one time, you're happy to give money. If the person starts showing up every day, say, wait a second, there's an ongoing relationship. All of a sudden, you get nervous. You know what I'm saying? We don't like it. We don't like being obligated. That's a whole different story. It's difficult to be in that situation. There's an interesting piece, you know, in the back of the Ktos, you'll find most of them in the Tinta, Truma Sakari, is another Sefer. So he explains a very interesting thing. The one thing he talks about is Avram Avinu. So if you remember, Avram Avinu, we have a whole Sedra in the Torah where we mention Mamre. How did Mamre be Zocha to be mentioned in the Torah? I'm not off the subject, you'll see momentarily what the connection is. Mamre, what was his Zochus to be mentioned in the Torah? Chazal tells us because he gave advice to Avram Avinu about the Mila. So we have diff- different actually versions of what the advice was. But one of them is simply, the one he brings is like this, that Avraham Avinu was very disappointed when Hashem commanded him to do the milah. Why was that? Because Avraham Avinu was a person who was completely and totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different than your average person. Your average person, you know, they have negative things, etc. Avraham Avinu was a person who was almost like, he was almost similar, he was similar to an angel. His whole desire was to do for God. So he was very happy to always have on his own volition something to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was thrilled. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he commands Avraham Avinu to do the milah. Now, of course he's going to do it. Hashem commanded him. He must do it. But then what does he have to offer Hashem? His whole offering to God was always, here he's coming on a voluntary basis, bringing his service to God. Now Hashem commanded him. Of course he's going to do it. What does he have to offer? So he gets this tremendous idea. What's that? He has three friends, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. He says, oh, he'll go around, he'll tell them about the milah, he'll, so to speak, ask their advice, and they'll discourage him. You know, and then they'll discourage him, they'll give him negative feelings, they'll overcome those negative feelings, he'll have something nice that he should bring to Hashem. This will be his offering. It'll be his offering to God. So he starts to go around, and it's working just like he thought. He goes to Aner, and he goes to Eshkol, and says, oh, you look, you're so old, what are you going to cut yourself with a knife? Each one is discouraging him. Ah, that's exactly what he wanted. He's not going to have a beautiful gift to God by overcoming the negative input that they're giving him. He gets to Mamre, he figures this, and now Mamre's really going to, who knows how he's going to discourage him next. Mamre does the opposite, starts yelling at him. He says, what's with you? He says, you have enough schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood by you by the Kishon Eish. Now, you're looking for more reward? He said, God tells you, go do it. Stop it. Yeah, but it's interesting, but the point is, okay, so we learned a deep thing. We said the point that we learned this, but from Sara Agra, listen, it's not necessarily true that every time the work is hard, that's necessarily a big deal. They get paid more, but they're not necessarily doing a better job. But here's what I want to bring out. We understand that the principle of Gadol and Metzuvah, that a person who's commanded is greater, works by definition for a person that has a Yetzer Hara, for a person that has an evil inclination. An angel which does not, says Rav Gesundheit, an angel which does not, their service is not greater. Their service is the other way. So now, so Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to him, he said, what's your Tana? You want to be commanded the Torah as opposed to us? You want to be commanded the Torah as opposed to us? You're not going to gain. We're going to gain by being commanded. Since we human beings have a Yetzer Hara, we'll be commanded the Torah. We'll have to overcome the Yetzer Hara to do the Torah. For us, there's a mila. For us, there's a gain in being commanded. You're going to lose out if you would be commanded the Torah. Since you don't have a Yetzer Hara, since you're going to do it no matter what, etc., now you're serving Hashem. You're not going to have without a command. You'll be commanded. You'll come down. That's one piece. What an interesting point. I want to bring you two other pieces. One is one of them. Both of them from Nathan C. Finkel of Slabotka. That the first one is sweet and beautiful. If I would ask you what the word malach means, so, you know, when we translate the word malach simply, malach means a messenger. A malach is a messenger. But you have to understand what that means. The malach has a job to do, and that's all it does. And we don't think of it this way, but a malach is essentially a machine. A malach is a machine. A malach is a robot. It's a robot. It's a robot. It has a command. It follows it. It doesn't command it. But it has no effective existence. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you should know. The angels are holy. Don't misunderstand me. These are holy creatures. With all that, they don't have the effective existence that we have. I'm not clear yet, but I'll explain. I'll give you an example. Take a look. Let's say you decide to do something wrong. Okay? Let's say you decide here. You decide to punch someone in the nose. It's shocking. You know what happens? They actually get punched in the nose. It's an unbelievable thing. If you decide to punch them, they actually get hit. If you decide to say a bad word to someone, they get hurt. If you say a good word to someone, they feel good. And you notice the Chazal tell us things that at first glance are difficult to understand. Chazal tell us when you embarrass a person that you're killing that person. We learn from the Torah that smiling at a person is more nourishing than giving them milk. Not saying hello to a person, you're stealing from the person that deserves your hello. You're stealing from the person. How do we understand these things? The answer is we human beings who have effective existence, we can understand them. I'll explain what I mean. What would happen if a malach decides, to do the wrong thing? You know what happens? Nothing. Nothing. Because the malach doesn't have that existence. I'm not clear. We take our existence for granted that you do things, they happen. And you know they have sensing. You know what I'm talking about? They have swordplay. So what do you? They don't stab each other. They have an electronic sensor. You know, the person touches it, it's a beep. You understand? You don't kill the person. What should happen? Why? What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing? Take a look. We live. Okay. Imagine if we were trying to kill somebody. They shouldn't die. Should we go off a buzzer and say, hey, you're misbehaving, go stay under the corner, you know, timeout. How is this possible? We're gonna shoot somebody, they're gonna die, you're gonna hit somebody, they're gonna bleed, you're gonna say a bad word, you're gonna destroy a person's feelings? It's unbelievable. And you see that the Torah uses a shocking word. Yeah, the Torah applies the word Elohim to human judges. The Chumash applies the word Elohim to human judges. What's the reason? Because the answer is that for sure, obviously we're telling Elohim, I'm going to say, but we actually have a godly existence. Something happened. What should really happen? Here, it should be theoretical. Here, you do the you say the wrong word, oh, beep, you lose a point. But the person shouldn't get hurt. You shoot a person, beep, you did the wrong thing, they shouldn't get hurt. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the world, we actually have a fact, we take it for granted that things actually happen when we do them. This the Malach doesn't have. The Malach is either fulfilling the program that Hashem says it's not happening, but by us we do. So we have an incredible ability to understand the Torah that no Malach can have, because we actually feel it. When you get hurt, when somebody hurts you, you feel it. You know exactly what's going on. When you hurt somebody, you know you actually have the power and ability to do it. Now you can understand the depths of Hashem's Torah. To understand that the Torah is going to teach us that embarrassing a person is killing them, we can understand it because we do it. We actually have that power. We're dangerous. It's a shocker. We should all be registered with the police. Every human being should register. We're dangerous. We're dangerous creatures. That's not bizarre. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to explain to them that the realities, the human realities, not a child's school, but the human reality of experience that we have in this world, that's something that's an advantage that Malach doesn't have. It's an understanding that Malach can't possibly have, that only a human being can have, because Hashem gave us effective existence that allows us to experience the things that will allow us to understand the Torah. That's point two. I see I'm way ahead of time over here. Here's a third point, which is extremely important, and probably the most important of all. For years I never got this point. I never understood it. But here's what I understand. It's a strange thing. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu arguing that our Yetzer Hara, this drive to do bad, to do the wrong thing, is what makes us more fitting to receive the Torah than the angels. Okay? When you first hear it, sounds like, listen, you don't need it. You know, see, the Torah is here to, so to speak, the Torah is here to control our Yetzer, the Torah is here to combat our Yetzer. But there's another step, and this is the most beautiful of all. You know that by definition, the Torah is the word of Hashem. There's no end. We can find it in the Torah Shevichtav, or whatever, we can find a finite number of words, but there's no end. There's no end to the understanding of Torah. There's no end to the understanding of a single word of Torah. Of a single word. By definition, everybody who learns knows this is true. You can learn a sugya and mamish. First it makes no sense, then it makes perfect sense, and then when you really study it, again it doesn't make sense. Then you put it together again, everything's good. Again it doesn't make it. And there's really no end. There's really no end. The same, the Alter Slobach actually says in another place when he speaks about Chazal comparing, we compare the next world to a room and this world to a corridor. He says, really, it's an unending process. A person walks through a corridor, you walk through a prose door, you come to a room which is chachma, which is understanding, and then as you come in, you get it, you reach enlightenment, and the room collapses into a corridor again, back into a prose door. You walk through, you reach a room of understanding, you reach chachma, and again, it collapses and goes forever and ever. It's an unending thing, because we are endlessly approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's something I want to explain. If we understand the Torah has no end, as deeply as you understand it, as well as you understand it, again, you'll go back again and again, the Torah will open up and be deeper. But who's capable of doing that? Who's capable? Well, here, if you really understood something and you have the point, so what's next? What else can there be? What possibly could come next? And this is something that I want to explain. It's very strange, very beautiful. I'm going to ask you a question. Could you please name an act for me that is so despicable, that is so disgusting, that there's not a human being in this world who would do it? Here, please help me. Please name an act that's so disgusting, so despicable, that there is not a human being that would do it. Please don't all answer at once. What happened here? Here, please, come on, let's get a few examples. Show me something that's so horrible that no one will do it. There's not a human being in the world that will do it. Why am I laughing? Well, yeah. Yeah. You can't. The answer is you can't come up with one. Isn't this surprising? Can you come up with a single? Can you show me an example of something that's so clearly disgusting, so horrible that no one will ever do it? You can't do it. I want to ask you in the opposite direction. Please name for me an act that is so clearly good, so compellingly right and necessary and proper that there's not a human being in the world who wouldn't do it. You can't. It's shocking. Human beings are capable of doing anything. Anything. They're capable of doing the most hard. You name it, there's a human being who could do it. We're capable of doing it. Yeah? Yeah. We're capable of doing it. You can't name me one thing that's so right and so righteous and so good that there's no one who won't. There's no such thing. You're capable of anything. I have to tell you a little story. You know, today the shidduchim, it's a little strange. People are making shidduchim based on what people are wearing and every kind of silliness. But in times past, you know, a shidduch was basically we know that the reputation of the person is good. We know the reputation of the family is good. And if you wanted to marry a guy to your daughter, you sat down and you learned with the guy. That's what everybody did. Everybody knew that. The guy wanted to marry into family. He sat down, he sat down with the father-in-law, and you learned. That's what happened. See who you are? There was a guy who really hoped to marry a certain girl. And he was talking to his friend. He said, it's hopeless. He says, I'm never going to be able to get this shidduch. His friend says, why not? He says, because the father is a Torah, you know, Torah genius. You know, he's an Eloi. He says, I'll sit down. Within 1 minute, he's not going to consider me sufficient, you know, sufficiently good material, Torah material, to marry his daughter. It's hopeless. His friend says, you know what? I actually know how you can get the shidduch. He says, I'll tell you what to do. If you follow my advice exactly, if you do exactly what I tell you, you'll be successful. The guy says, what are you talking about? He says, I'll never be able to learn it in a way that makes this person, impresses this person, or makes him feel I'm somebody. He said, listen, take my word, listen to me. You're going to listen to me, you'll get the shidduch. He says, okay, what should I do? He says, here's what you do. You're going to go, you're going to sit down with the father-in-law, listen, you'll open up the Gemara, let him speak. He says, let him talk. Let him say something. Now, whatever he says, just listen to me, follow my instructions. Whatever he says, just say to him, yeah, but Efshar Pum Faket. I'm telling him, look, it could be exactly the opposite. He says, wait, he says, look, just listen to me. Take my word for it. Whatever he says, just say, Efshar Pum Faket, you'll see. He's such a genius, you're going to win out. He says, listen to me, do it. The guy goes, sits down the phone, says, look, you look like a fine bacher. He sits down, he opens up the Gemara, the father-in-law talks, he reads a little bit, says, no, awesome, that would be like this, that's what it says. The Gemara says, like, that would mean like this and like that. The guy looks up, he says, yeah, but, you know, Efshar Pum Faket, it could be exactly the opposite. The guy says, what? Wait a minute. That's incredible. Why, that would mean like this and that and this. That's incredible. What a thought this. Does he say? He figured out for himself. It's amazing. That's amazing. The guy, amazing. This is fantastic. That would mean like this and that. That's unbelievable. The guy says, yeah, but Efshar Pum Faket. He says, what? that's ridiculous. What? No. I can't go. That's amazing. What a fuck. That's brilliant. Alright, that would mean like this and that and this and that. Unbelievable. He said, this is fantastic. This sounds that you're amazing. You're going to be my son-in-law. The guy says, that's a poop again. You'll see in all of our learning, how are we able to grasp a point? You have to know davar v'hipucho. A person always has to know a thing and its opposite. And at every single point, if I'm to understand and appreciate something, I must understand why it is not its alternative. What happens when a person has really learned the Torah? You really learn something. You get in there, you have the depth and you have the clarity and the precision and the detail, and you really understand it. What happens then? What will cause a person to continue going? And this is the joke I'm telling you. You know why? Because every person, this is the gift that God gave us, because we have a Yetzirah. A Yetzirah gives us the ability, what's the most horrible and disgusting thing? It's a possibility. I shouldn't tell this. You'll give me credit that I'm a good person. I remember some years ago, I live in Eretz Yisrael. You know, I live in Yerushalayim. So some years ago, I went to the bank. I put some money into the bank. I must have put, I don't know, $50, $200, whatever it was that I made a deposit into the bank. And by mistake, the clerk deposited for me, gave me a slip that said I deposited $50,000. I didn't know this. I didn't know. And now I'm walking out the back. I'm away to say, I'm waiting away to go about with her, go about my day. I'm walking down the street. I don't even know why. You know, who looks at these things? I pull out the slip, you know, to glance at it. And I see they deposited $50,000 into my account. I said, oh my goodness. So the first thought I had was, I have to get back quickly so the clerk will not lose their job. That was the first thing that occurred. I was afraid that the person going to get, you know, they'll fire the person. So I ran around, and literally, this is a true story, I began running back to the bank. I'm now running. I've turned around. I'm running to the bank quickly to give the clerk the slip back, to let the clerk make the correction before anyone gets in trouble. So here you have to imagine, I'm running full speed to the bank. I'm running to do the right thing. And as I'm running, I'm saying to myself, hey, slow down one second. Are you sure you actually have to get his money back? You know what I mean? Look, this Heterium is a corporation. All of a sudden I'm thinking, what are you, hey, slow down a little. As I'm running to do the right thing. Yes, I'm thinking, yeah, but who, you know, extra poof, I care. You know, who says you're gonna maybe you have to keep the money. This ability we have, no matter what it is, to think the other way, that gives us a gift and an ability in Torah that no malach has. And what is that? That we have, as deep as we get in the Torah, as much as we understand, no matter what it says, we say, yeah, but it could be different. I could think of it differently. And that advantage, that ability in Torah, that puts us far ahead of every mouth. That gives us the great advantage to hear the Torah endlessly, forever and forever. And why do I want to tell you this? Because I want to be encouraging. Everyone knows, if you know, you can always tell when people are working at things. When people work at it, they'll tell you about the problems. My Rebbe would often set us a task, and sometimes he would come back after a day or two and he would say, you know, no one's doing what I asked. So we would laugh, you know, because he was right. So he said, how do you know? He said because what I set you is difficult. You would have had a lot of shilas, he said. You would have, nobody came to ask me anything. It must be you're not working on it. You understand? There would have been 20 shilas here. You didn't ask me anything. It must be you're not you're not doing it. Everybody who tries to learn Torah, everybody who learns, it's difficult. Learning Torah is not easy. Learning Torah takes great effort. Thinking is work. Yeah, sitting is work. Thinking is work. Years ago, a friend of mine told me somebody was kind of, you know, a little pretentious. Somebody's there, they were in front of a Rabbi Yoshev, you should live with me well. So somebody's there, so somebody started saying, you know, sitting and learning, that's not the point. The main thing is a person, a lambda, and that's what matters. And Rabbi Yoshev said, no, sitting, he said, is a big kisharon. Sitting is a great talent. You know, everything's a great talent. To sit down is a big talent. For a person to pay attention is a great talent. To think is that all these things, these take tremendous amounts of work. We're fighting a powerful Yetzer, and certainly in Torah, with Torah, which is the essence of our life, certainly the Yetzer wants to fight it more than any place else. More than any place else. But here's what I want to tell you to be encouraging. This force, which is certainly against us, ironically, in Torah, is our great advantage. It's our great advantage. The fact that we can conceive of and we can back up and argue for the opposite of anything. Of anything. And that's our joke. We can say, after Pupfaket, about anything. That gives us an advantage to continually understand the depth of Torah forever and ever and ever. And that's every word we hear. We hear a word and we say, oh, yeah, but you know, you could have said otherwise. And that's, therefore, it must be, what does the Torah tell me in this place? And each of these medaktik on every word of the Torah forever and ever and ever. And the reason I tell you this is because here, every one of us, our greatest success comes from our Torah learning. And the more that we learn, the more that we're connected here. Everybody knows it. So I tell you here what, the weakness, the part that we're fighting, the part that makes it difficult for us, you know, all these things, that same quality is a human advantage. That's what I wanted to tell you. So take a look. I'm going to summarize. We have three points here. Firstly, that by being commanded the Torah, obviously for us the avod is greater. So if we're fighting, when we have to fight, so to speak, the negativity, we have to fight the challenge of learning Torah. We have to overcome our particular whatever it is, whether it's getting to learning, paying attention while we're learning, sticking, being consistent, etc. We understand that we're going to have in the end for us, being commanded is going to be greater. Being commanded is going to be greater. We have something greater to offer Hashem because we're overcoming. Point two, we have to understand that our human experience is an advantage. Because we actually have this power to do things that gives us an ability to understand the Torah that really nothing else in the world has. And to put it succinctly, if I didn't make it clear to you, the whole world is a machine. Everything in the world is a machine. Except for us. And potentially we can be alive. We have the potential for real life because Baruch Hu gave us the ability to actually act, to do things, to affect things in the world. We're the one thing that has that ability. The only thing. And that's our advantage in Torah. And the third thing, this very negative force, literally the Yetzer Hara. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Hara, do you have a Yetzer Hara? He said to the angel, this Yetzer Hara itself, ironically, as much as it's killing us, that towers a unique ability in Torah that gives us the ability to endlessly understand it. You're never going to be stuck, you never get to the end of anything, in the positive sense. That no matter how clearly you get it, you're going to sit down and say, yep, but you know what? We can start the whole thing over again, and new universes will be revealed again and again. And Chazal tell us that the reward for a person in this world who does the right things is they won't stop in the world to come. We go mechayel el chayel. We go from strength to strength. I pray that Hashem should bless our Torah learning, and in this world, and please God, in the world to come, we'll go from strength to strength forever and ever. Thank you very much.